intercepted. Jaquan McMillan made a difficult play on it. And a Denver defense so good at takeaways at 25 last year.
Well, good protection.
This sucker.
That was Guy Haberman and company on KPIX. And guess what? Speaking of KPIX, coming up tonight at 7, the Valkyries take on the Connecticut Sun. You can hear the game right here on 95.7 The Game and on the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. Just download the app and search Valkyries. And you can also watch the game on KPIX. Pregame starts at 6:30. Brought to you by the San Francisco Sheriff's Office. Your future begins here. And also, speaking of KPIX, Matt Lively of KPIX joins us at 9 on the River Islands guest line. So we got that to look forward to. But that highlight you just heard, the Niners preseason game versus the Broncos, preseason week number one, they lose 30-9. Wins and losses, Shasky, don't really matter that much in the preseason, but there's so many individual takeaways. And one for me was, man, the Niners need the offensive line to stay healthy, because if anything happens to really any of those guys, but particularly Trent Williams, you're looking at Spencer Burford having to play meaningful snaps. And based on what Nick Bonito, an all-pro edge rusher, did to Spencer Burford in that first quarter on Saturday, that's going to be rough.
We do this thing and we're like, who's the most important player on the team? Who can they ill afford to lose or whatever? And look, quarterback is always going to be at the top of everyone's mind, right? And whenever you bring these kind of conversations up, if you pick someone other than the quarterback, people think that's a sweeping indictment of said quarterback, whether it's the Eagles. Hey, Saquon's the most important Eagle. Oh, but Jalen, like, no one's knocking them. Like, I look at the Niners right now, and I say to myself, like, just put Brock to the side. We know he's good. I think Mac is a solid backup. I really do. I think
he is.
I think he's solid.
Miles better than Brandon Allen last year.
Throw them to the side. Last week I said, I think CMC's the most important Niner, right? Because of what he does for them in the red zone, dual threat, how important he is, the drop-off behind him for Patrick Taylor Jr., who's your number two. Like, I think it's a precipitous drop.
Well, Garendo's your number two, but he can't stay healthy.
I have zero faith in him to stay healthy.
They want him to be their number two. We'll put it that way. But I don't know if he can stay healthy.
I'd like a house in Florence. You know, I don't know if that's going to work out for me. So I say to myself, okay, I watched that preseason game, and there's not a lot to take away for some of the most impactful spots on the team. But one of them is swing tackle. Trent missed some games last year. He missed some games the year before that. If Trent goes down, we are done. D-O-N-E. And the reason why I say that is because the drop-off from Trent to Spencer Burford, who is right now one of their swing tackles, the Grand Canyon thinks that's a big drop-off. All right? It is so bad. Spencer Burford was a mediocre is being nice guard, and now they have him at tackle, and he's getting thrown around and spun by like a rag doll. And I say to myself, like, all right, again, don't get triggered by this, Niner fans. If Brock misses three games, I think Mac can win one or two of them, because I think Mac is serviceable.
And keep the team afloat is what you're saying.
Not as good as Brock, but he's serviceable, all right? He's serviceable.
Wow, dude.
If CMC misses three games, I think they can win one or two because of Kyle's play calling and the other playmakers around him offsetting his absence. If Trent Williams misses three games, I think they lose all three because of how poor the drop-off is from Trent to Spencer Burford. I'm not trying to pick on him. I'm really not. Watch the game. Mac Jones had no time to throw once, I keep calling him Betonio, but Bonito.
Nick Bonito, second team All-Pro last year.
He went around him four or five different ways effortlessly each time. They are almost a non-functional offense without Trent Williams. That's how bad it was. And so now I'm retconning my own opinion from a week or two ago. I'm saying, like, no. I was wrong. It's not CMC. It's not. Trent Williams is the most important 49er on offense by a mile. And I truly believe that if he misses some time, we're in major trouble. They have not drafted a tackle properly to be a even like serviceable swing guy.
Well, they just don't draft tackles, period.
When was the last time they drafted one?
The last tackle, I will find this for you. The last tackle the 49ers drafted Not this year. Last year, they drafted Dominic Pooney. He's a guard. They drafted Jarrett Kingston in the sixth round, who they then cut. He didn't make the team. He was a guard anyway, but even if he was a tackle, I'm not really counting that because he didn't make the team.
Is it Jalen Moore?
They did not draft any offensive lineman in 2023. They drafted Spencer Burford in 2022, who they're trying to make.
Well, he was a guard,
a tackle, but he's a guard. They also drafted Nick Zakel in 2022. He's not a tackle. 2021, Aaron Banks in the second round. Guard. He's a guard. Jalen Moore, fifth round in 2021, tackle, was the last tackle they drafted.
Almost 5 years ago. Look,
that makes no sense to me.
I can't believe how much they've devalued that position. And you saw a couple of plays on Saturday where it's like, Kyle, stop blocking the best edge rusher on the other team with the backup tight end. He did it with Luke Farrell coming across the formation, and he got blown by. And I'm saying to myself, like, he has got to prioritize tackle for this team after this year. It has got to be something that they invest in.
We've been saying that for three straight years, and it hasn't happened.
I know.
Kyle Shanahan post-game, there was a series where Nick Benito, the second-team All-Pro for the Broncos, got to the quarterback three straight plays. He ruined the drive by himself.
Exactly.
The first one was the Luke Farrell chip block. The other two were on Burford. Here's Shanahan on that series specifically and what Nick Benito did, and he'll talk about Burford here. Here's Shanahan post-game on Saturday.
I mean, he did ruin that whole series. One was on our tight end going across the formation. He just played past all the way, so that wasn't on a tackle. But it was three plays in a row. The next two plays, we went on the quick count and were lined up wrong, so he was able to jump the snap. So I thought that was a little tough for Spence. And then on the third down, we had a bust by a player who was supposed to be outside presence on him. Spence was expecting a chip, so he was just sitting there inside out, and there was no guy there. So Benito's a hell of a player, so we knew that would be a challenge. But I thought those three plays in a row were a little unfair to Spence.
So Shanahan saying, nothing to see here. It was not Spencer Burford's fault. He's actually a quality backup left tackle. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. That's what he's saying.
How about the whole aspect of Shanahan? This is how Brock got hurt in that NFC Championship game, was trying to have a guy come across the formation as a backup tight end.
Block a really good edge rusher.
Yeah, he said, well, he read pass all the way. Kyle, that is how you got your quarterback messed up, right? Like, and you saw it in this one. They were lucky Mac recognized that he was going to get blasted, or else he could have gotten his back snapped in half. Throw that whole sequence, whatever that scheme is that you're doing there, where you think it's cool to have your tight end come across the formation and try to stay with one of the best edge rushers on the other team. Scrap that. That doesn't work. I don't know why he continues to go back to that.
So is Shasky crazy for thinking Trent Williams is the most important, most valuable Niner?
Do you agree with me on this, or where are you at?
It's really difficult for me to ever say anybody other than the quarterback, but I know where you're coming from.
I want to make it clear.
I'm not saying that you are saying Brock is bad. I know you're not saying that.
Or am I saying that Mac is somewhere close to Brock? He's not. Like, there's Mac is the backup. Brock is your dude. You paid him $50 million for a reason.
Obviously, of course.
He's really good. He can move, and he can do so many different things. What I'm saying is that if Brock missed a couple games, because the backup's decent and because the quarterback and the infrastructure, I think they could win one or two of those three games. I don't think they can win one if Trent Williams misses three. I literally do not think they can win one of those games.
I see where you're coming from. And what you're saying says more about the three other guys than it does about Brock. Like, what you're saying, exactly. Trent is awesome.
Yes.
And when he's playing, he's 37, but when he's playing, he's still awesome.
Exactly.
You're saying Burford as a backup left tackle is a terrible idea. Mm-hmm. And you're saying Mac Jones is serviceable. You're not talking about Brock at all.
At all. But I know how things get interpreted, yes. And people lose their minds. It's me elevating Trent and also understanding how poor your backup options are. Who else outside of Burford are they even going to try?
At left tackle?
At any tackle. What if McGlinchey misses time?
Well, McGlinchey's now a Bronco. McKivitz.
Colt McKivitz.
McKivitz. You've got Austin Pleasance as essentially your backup right tackle. He also was
like
not
Austin
very
unpleasant.
He was also not very good.
Take my four on that one.
I mean, what is so scary about this offensive line is it has me and I think other Niner fans being like, oh my God, Colt McKivitz better not get hurt.
That's, I know.
And it's not because I think Colt McKivitz is like this really good right tackle, although ask Kyle Shanahan, he'll tell you, watch the tape. McKivitz is a quality right tackle. He'll say the same thing about Jake Brendel at center as well. And are they, average, maybe they're around there. Are they one of the 10 best at their position in the league? No, not close in my opinion. I feel that way about those guys, not because, again, that I think they're anything special, but because they have nothing behind them. Nothing.
No.
Absolutely nothing. And if we're talking about the biggest mistakes the Niners have made over the last handful of years getting to this moment, I think for me it's how they handled the offensive line as a whole. I mean, them letting Jalen Moore go to the Chiefs for however much money that was when he'd only been a swing tackle for you, I didn't feel comfortable paying Jalen Moore that much.
I didn't either.
Clearly the Niners did not as well. Same thing for Aaron Banks to the Packers. They're paying him a ton of money. They're paying him like top five offensive guard
money.
He's not
worth that.
He's not that.
$19 million a year.
Not worth that. No. So those decisions in a vacuum, I am perfectly fine with them. But you know what, Kyle? You know what, John? You knew that was coming for years. You knew when Aaron Banks hit free agency, you likely were not going to be able to match that money or feel comfortable doing it. You were going to let him walk. So how do you plan for a moment like that? You get the replacement ready. And maybe Ben Bartsch is going to be great. This has nothing to do with Ben Bartsch and more. It's the overall philosophy that this team refuses year after year after year to address their offensive line in the draft. And really, that's the only way that generally that you improve your offensive line. Like, they got Trent Williams. That was a freaking steal, acquiring him from the worst run organization in the NFL. That does not happen all of the time. If you have an all-pro level offensive lineman, they don't hit free agency. They never hit free agency. You can't just go out and sign a stud generally. No. You're going to sign an Alex Mack, an old aging center who was an all-pro, but he's in the final years of his career. Was he okay for you? Yeah, sure. But you're paying top dollar for a guy that is in the final legs of his career. The only way you can consistently get a good offensive line is if you're addressing that every year in the draft, and they have just flat out refused to do it. And they'll tell you, well, in the third round, we had this grade on this receiver, and we wanted him because we thought it was a better value for that pick. Yeah, we have this offensive lineman a little bit later, but we didn't think it was worth it at that. I don't care. Your offensive line is the biggest hole on this team, and you're getting to a point where you might be right. If one of your guys, who's 37 years old, misses any meaningful time this season, your season might be done.
Yeah.
That is the hole that they've dug themselves.
I'm not going off of just the preseason game. I'm going off of what I saw in joint practices. And when Trent didn't play, their offense was non-functional. It just was. And if you want to get the most out of Brock Purdy and you're going to spend all this money on him, you have to protect him. Like, you do. Like, it's one thing of like, hey, we have an all-world tight end. We're going to see if our running back is still that guy. We're kind of a work in progress at receiver because we can only afford so many things. All right, I buy that, right? And also, receiver is something that the college ranks give you a lot of. So you could take flyers later in the draft. Yep. You've got to prioritize this offensive line. Your years have been ruined. When have they been ruined? When the quarterback has gone down. Jimmy getting hurt ruined 2020. Right? Jimmy hurting his shoulder in 2021 kind of put a ceiling on what he could do in the playoffs that year. 2022, we know that they went through 1,000 guys that year, but they got lucky. But what end of the year?
Brock tearing his UCL.
Exactly. Last year, Brock missed time. You know, he got the elbow at the end of the year. So if you do not protect your quarterback and that guy goes down, your season's in big trouble. And them not prioritizing offensive line, it's just a baffling thing. When I look around the league and it feels like everyone in the league is drafting interior linemen in the last couple of drafts except the Niners, and they don't draft any tackles.
The Niners haven't drafted a tackle or a center in a long time. In fact, I think that they're the only team in the NFL to not draft a tackle or a center in the last 3 years. The only team in the league that hasn't done that.
The only team in the league last 3 years that hasn't drafted tackle or center.
Yeah.
That's
kind of insane, actually.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like that's almost malpractice, actually. Especially when you just gave as much money to your franchise quarterback as you did, and you're not going to put any money down on what is basically the insurance policy to protect your quarterback. That's wild to me.
Well, look, who was the guy in Philadelphia, the Kelsey brother. They had
Jason
him.
Jason Kelsey, yeah.
Right, and what did they do? They drafted Landon Dickerson. Like, having that succession plan in place, knowing that, hey, he's toward the end of his career, we need to invest in that particular into that particular position.
If you want to be, and I'm not saying that you should, but if you want to be depressed, look at the Eagles draft history. Just look at the Eagles draft history. Last year was one of the best drafts any team had.
The corner and Quinion the safety.
Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, yeah. Back-to-back picks, first and second round. Year before, they had Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith. You go further down, they also had some other guys.
And Nolan Smith had got better by the end of year two. Yeah. Totally different player.
2022, they drafted Cam Jurgens, an offensive lineman. 2021, they drafted Landon Dickerson, who's quickly become one of the better offensive linemen in the NFL. Those guys are both starters on their offensive line. They've had great guys for a really long time. Go all the way back to 2016. Isaac Samalu, who's played a ton of games for them. They just hit. First of all, they draft offensive linemen every single year, just about, and they hit on them almost every single year. And their draft history in general is really, really impressive.
And they've developed, you know, the kid Mailata.
Mailata, yeah.
You know, rugby guy. You know that they shined up and have worked, and he's a physical freak. So you can find the randoms, but you have to invest in it. And so watching that game over the weekend, forget the two guys that played after Mac Jones. Like, Mac Jones had no time to throw, and that's the one area where Brock is significantly better than Mac is movement. We all know. Just he's a great move. He moves around in the pocket and can create
one of his
things.
Best skills is his legs, honestly.
Hands down, decision making too, but specifically the legs. And I'm saying to myself, you're going to get this guy killed. He's going to be running for his life. And when you watch back, all the games from last year, I can't tell you how many different times I wrote down on my notes my big takeaways from the games, because I rewatched them all in 2 weeks ago. If they didn't have Brock's movement, there would have been 15 sacks. I wrote that down 6 or 7 times in the first 12 games. If Brock doesn't move, they're in trouble. And so, they've got to invest in the O-line moving forward. And I'm worried that this year's team is so razor thin on that line that they're setting themselves up for some trouble.
Yeah, I don't know.
Possibly.
I don't know how they can survive injuries to key spots there on the offensive line, specifically at the tackle spot. 888-957-9570. Shasky says that Trent Williams is the most important Niner player, or the one that they can't afford to lose to injury more so than anybody else, including Brock Purdy. You agree? 888-957-9570.
And also, we've got some risers and fallers.
Ooh.
People that played over the weekend in that game, and we think that they're rising up in the hearts of Niner fans or falling down. And then there's some other ones where you want to explain. Is that correct?
Well, there's some others where maybe there's a mixed bag. We
there
can put it
go.
That way.
Yeah, let me explain, as Sam Lubman puts. So we'll get to those.
We'll get to that. But let's go out to the phone lines, 888-957-9570. CG in Fresno has been patient.
Hey, CG,
we appreciate it. What do you got for us?
I was going to speak of this, man. I've been waiting for hours, but I'll say this. There's a tweet by John Feliciano, man. He's already making, some hints, man. Do we even bother to sign this guy for possibly maybe for the interior spots?
Let me look up. I saw this earlier, CJ. Appreciate you bringing it up. I want to find the actual tweet so I can read it to you. Let's see. Here it is. Jonathan Feliciano, you remember the 2023 team that went to the Super Bowl. He was an important piece.
Got hurt at the end, and that's why Burfert was playing in the Super Bowl in the final moment.
And
where,
they missed Chris Jones.
Yes.
They just ignored Chris Jones, which is not what I would recommend you do.
One of the best players ever. Hey, I know that's Lawrence Taylor, but maybe we just ignore him on this play. Biggest play of the year, but maybe we just,
not strategy cotton. We'll see how it plays out for him.
Exactly.
Anyway, Jonathan Feliciano, so former Niners offensive lineman, who I think retired – and because of that injury, at some point last year, because he was on the team last year but was out the whole time and then essentially retired, tweeted, and this is actually funny because he's bringing up a name that we're going to talk about later. He said, Chase, as in Chase Lucas, the corner, is balling. Good for him. Dude is funny as bleep. That was what Jonathan Feliciano tweeted. And then a fan responded to him and said, how can we unretire you? Looks like the offensive line could use some help. And he quote tweeted that tweet and said, "Tell John to call me. Tell John Lynch to call me." So a former Niners offensive lineman is trying to get signed again. Who knows how real that is, but that's what CJ was talking about. Jonathan Feliciano saying, "John Lynch, give me a call. I'm ready."
Feliciano seems to be an odd guy just based off of his Twitter.
He is a weird guy.
Yeah, I don't know.
He was good for them on the offensive line.
Oh, yeah, he was bad. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but again, like, we're asking guys to come out of retirement. That's how bad it is.
Yeah, that's where we're at right now.
It's not good. It's not good. Now, look, you played a Denver defense that we all think is going to be really, really, really good.
Yes.
This year. So there is that caveat.
You played one expected offensive line starter.
Right. And so not every guy every team that you go up against is going to have guys across the line like they do. Zach Allen is a monster. I mean, if you don't know the name, 99 for the Broncos, just an absolute beast. Eats double teams up, just creates havoc. They have invested in their defensive line year after year after year, the Niners have. And it just feels like they de-emphasize the offensive line. And it perplexes me because we know how important it is on a run-based team to have a stout O-line. And yet they feel like they can develop these random guys. And every year we're stuck talking about how, gosh, if only you would have had an extra tackle or an extra guard or a center. And I don't know. I don't know if I jive with the way that they view the philosophy of the offensive line.
I'm with you. Let me read this text to you from the 925 on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorney's text line. The 925 says, "Cool it, guys. 2025 draft was defensive focused and 2026 will be offensive focused. They will load up on the offensive line, but we will just have to deal with that or deal with what we have this year." That's from Joe in San Ramon. Joe, thanks for listening and for texting. I hear what you're saying. My issue is not a 2025 issue. My issue is a last 4 years issue. This isn't they should have drafted X, Y, and Z, all of these offensive linemen this year and start the season with a bunch of rookies or have a bunch of rookies be your backups this year. My issue is you needed a succession plan for the guys that you had no interest in bringing back.
They did it at the wide receiver spot.
Why
did they draft Ricky Pearsall? Because they saw down the barrel that Debo and Brandon Ayuk, one of the two probably wasn't going to be on the roster.
Yeah.
And they had Jennings in the fold. Didn't know they was going to have the monster year that he had. So you've done it at other positions. I mean, look, we'll see on Ricky, right? We will see. But if Ricky's not a hit, we are going to look back at all the different guys that they passed on to go get Ricky at a position that they already had some depth at.
Yeah, and look, maybe you describe this as cherry picking, and I wouldn't.
I don't think it is.
I don't think that's cherry picking. Maybe what I'm about to say, maybe you'd call this cherry picking. And I wouldn't immediately disagree with you because every team has high profile draft misses. And I'm not talking about Trey Lance, right? That was in the moment. It was the right move to try to get a quarterback. You just happened to pick the wrong one. And maybe all of those guys that year were the wrong ones. I'm not even talking about that. When you have consistent draft misses, when you draft a kicker in the third round, when you draft a tight end in the third round who hasn't played a snap for you, he's not on your team anymore, and Cameron Latu, those were two third-round picks in the same year.
And they drafted him as a luxury.
When you draft guys like that, when in the moment, you, I, Sam, Zach, everybody, all Niner fans, like, you traded up to draft a kicker in the third round? Are you kidding me? The only way that works out is if he becomes Goskowski, if he becomes one of the best kickers in the league, right? Like, Vinatieri, reincarnated Adam Vinatieri. It's not going to happen. It was an absolute foolish decision. When you're doing that sort of thing, instead of thinking 2 years from now, down the road, all right, we're going to have our next starter on the offensive line. When Aaron Banks leaves, we're going to have this guy waiting in the wakes. We're going to draft so-and-so guard in the third round in 2023 so he can start for us coming up in 2025. That is what drives me crazy. Not what happened this offseason, what they failed to do in offseasons in the past.
Well, they had done it early on in the regime where, you know, they had Trent Brown. They traded Trent Brown away, drafted McGlinchey, right? It was like a plug and play.
That was their first draft pick, McGlinchey.
They brought us, that was the second year.
Oh, Thomas was the first draft pick.
2018.
Right.
And then they did it with they had Laken Tomlinson at guard, and they let him walk in free agency, which was probably the right move. And then they drafted Aaron Banks to kind of be the successor the year prior.
Yes, he did not play as a rookie, Aaron Banks.
He redshirted, yep. Essentially. And, well, they didn't have a successor after that. And, you know, Dominic Pooney was kind of plug and play last year, but I'm sure he blew them away in terms of, like, they thought he'd be a nice player, but I don't know if they knew he'd start and play every single snap the way that he did, which has been great. Center has always been a bizarre one for me. Since Payne, West, and Richburg, it feels like nothing's really worked out for them long term there. Jake Brendel's okay, but if you ask most people around the league, I don't know where he stands. Probably in the 20s.
Shanahan would say, if you watch the tape, he's a hell of a player. He has said that, and that's like a direct quote. That's what he told Tim Kawakami. No.
Yeah.
No.
So I don't know, man. And then, like, tackle, like, they let Mike McGlinchey walk, and he was going to get $50 million in free agency. That was the right move. But Colt McKivitz?
I want to be...
And not drafting anyone?
I want to be very clear. I don't have an issue with the free agents' decisions that they've made.
No,
letting McGlinchey leave, letting Aaron Banks leave, letting Jalen Moore leave. Like, if they're stars and they're great and they're top five at their position, then you sign them, you pay whatever it's going to take to keep them, but they're not. So don't overpay for that. We had someone text us on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line, the 262. Why do you think Banks got so overpaid? Because everybody is in the same situation as the Niners.
Yes.
Everybody needs offensive linemen.
Yeah,
and it's a crazy, it's kind of like the quarterback market. It's just crazy. The wide receiver market blew up. The offensive line market is blowing up right now. So the Niners didn't really have a choice there, but it's realizing that that was coming and planning for it years in advance.
I always use the Harbaugh, you know, line, because I love this line. He thought the offensive line was the tip of the spear. Harbaugh was a quarterback and understood the value of having an offensive line. He considered it a weapon. That's what he used to say all the time. And I look at what the Chargers are going through right now, where they lose their big left tackle.
Rashawn Slater.
He might not ever play again. I mean, who knows? Like, with an injury like that, we'll
see.
They
just paid him a couple weeks ago.
I know.
Big money.
But they drafted Joe Alt, right? And that's the kid from Notre Dame.
That was Harbaugh's first draft pick as Chargers head coach.
Everybody thought, oh, he's going to draft receiver. No,
are you kidding
Harbaugh?
Me?
Yeah, not a chance that he's going to draft a wide receiver in the top five. And he took Joe Alt, and now they're going to slide that guy over. And, you know, it's not ideal that their guy got hurt, but they had the contingency plan. And they had their starter at right tackle, Joe Alt, and now they're going to slide him over to the left side. Because he's looking down the barrel. He's thinking about building the offensive line. And it's just what he prioritizes. And it feels like Shanahan, for whatever reason, does not prioritize the offensive line in the same way that Harbaugh does. It's philosophical taste here. And it's one that I don't think I agree with. As for all the great things that Shanahan loves to bring in, a lot of skill position players, one area where he leaves me wanting more is just how he views O-line.
I'm with you. I feel the same. They have put a lot of resources, I mean, this past year for sure, into the defensive line. And that's kind of been where they built their team. Like, early in the Shanahan Lynch era, it was a lot of defensive linemen. It was Solomon Thomas. I know that didn't pan out. It was Nick Bosa. It was Javon Kinlaw. Kinlaw didn't pan out either.
No.
But it was a lot of focus on the trenches on the defensive side. And that was the case this draft as well, with Mykael Williams and Alfred Collins and CJ West. But there hasn't really been that focus on the offensive line. And I get it. If you ask Shanahan and you get an honest answer out of him, he will say, well, you know, it's a hard capped league. We only have so much money to spend. We would love to have the five highest paid offensive linemen, but it's not realistic. But what he is doing, what he and this brain trust have decided is their best course in terms of roster building, it is valuing positions like wide receiver over the offensive line.
Isn't that bizarre for a team that wants to be a run-first team?
I think their offensive line is better as a run-blocking unit as they are than a pass-blocking unit, but you're right.
To prioritize
it is weird.
Throwing the ball, like, as this, like, we want to be a team that invests in wide receivers, yet you don't throw it 40 times a game. Those are they don't jive.
Counterintuitive.
Yeah. Thank you. They don't jive.
I'm with you.
So I don't know, man. I see this kid, Jordan Watkins. Where did they get him from? Fifth, sixth, seventh round?
Ole Miss, I think he was, Jordan Watkins, fourth round.
Fourth round.
Yeah.
All right. He's a solid player. You know, I think he's fine. But is he infinitely better than who you could find in the fifth or sixth or seventh? I don't know. Time will tell. You know, like, you know, Terry McLaurin, who we've talked about long, like, he was a third-round pick. And you can find these guys late in the draft. I would just like to see them prioritize in the first couple of rounds, first three or four, some of these offensive linemen. And when I watched the game the other night and I see Spencer Burford out there playing swing tackle, I go, all right, I know why you invested in the defensive line. It makes total sense. They were a huge gaping hole. I would have taken another tackle somewhere like in the middle rounds just to have after you lose Jalen Moore, because I don't trust anybody if Trent's got to miss a couple games. And you've got to, like, you've got to plan for that.
They were what, 1-6 in the seven games Trent missed last year?
I think they're 4-12 all time when Trent doesn't play.
That's crazy.
4-12.
That's crazy.
That can sabotage a season.
Absolutely. 888-957-9570. Shasky thinks Trent Williams is the most important 49er, the one that he can't afford to lose to injury. And we're talking about the decision-making in terms of offensive line investment from the 49ers. What do you think? 888-957-9570. Theo is in the East Bay and wants to weigh in. Theo, what's up? You're on with Shasky and Grandy on the Morning Roast. What do you got for us, Theo?
Yeah, boys, look, love the show. I'm really looking forward to this Niners year and how you guys are going to cover it. But look, to me, I think Shanahan believes in his system so much to where he doesn't really worry about the offensive line too much. You know, I'm not trying to say like he's got a big ego. He's got this big head. He thinks he's the smartest person in the room. But when you look at the draft picks over time and how he's completely ignored offensive line, I mean, to me, it's just like, what are we doing here? I mean, and Shasky's right. Trent Williams is the most important player that the 49ers are afraid to lose. We're one injury away from him being injured to where this year could be either 6-whatever or, you know, 10-7. So, yeah, he's the most important guy. But, yeah, that's what I think. I mean, I'm not calling Shanahan a big head, but, yeah, that's what I think.
He's just, cheers, boys.
Thanks, Theo.
It's a really good call. You know, each coach has different principles and philosophies and strengths and weaknesses, right? And things that they prioritize. What Andy Reid prioritizes isn't going to be what Shanahan prioritizes. Yeah. You know, Andy loves speed. He doesn't care about run blocking for wide receivers on certain things. That's why he loved Xavier Worthy when a lot of teams were like, he's not on my draft board, right? He has a very particular set that he's looking for. I don't know. Like, it sounds absurd to say out loud. I don't know if Kyle would love Travis Kelce because he doesn't want to block. Right? I think it's perfect. Like, Kelce works perfectly with Andy, and they know what he does well, and Andy doesn't care if he pass blocks or not, or rush or run blocks. Whereas, like, I think Kittle is the perfect tight end for Kyle. Doesn't complain, will go out and be an unbelievable pass catcher, but will also maul people in the run game.
Love run blocking more than actually catching passes, honestly.
Exactly. That's his principle. That's his philosophy. But the philosophy on offensive line, to me, needs either some evolution or he needs to come off of some things. It's got to be more important. It just has to be for him. And I look at what has done them in is the quarterback staying healthy. That has really crushed them. And at no point have they ever been like, hey, that's a top five, top 10 offensive line unit. I know when the Eagles are playing football that Howie will prioritize offensive line. Big, physical, athletic offensive linemen.
Well, I was just going to ask you, it's funny you read up the Eagles. How did the Eagles win the Super Bowl this past year?
They, in the trenches.
By being able to run the ball relentlessly, and when they had to throw, protect their quarterback.
Yep.
And you have an offensive lineman that is Jordan Mailata, Landon Dickerson, Cam Jurgens, Tyler Seaton, and Lane Johnson.
It's pretty good.
That's the best offensive line in football.
Yeah.
And you remember when the Chiefs got absolutely dominated physically in the Super Bowl by the
Bucs.
Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. What did they do the following year? They drafted a bunch of offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
And then guess what? They beat the Niners in the Super Bowl. They beat the Eagles, and then they beat the Niners in the Super Bowl, and then they got back to the Super Bowl and lost.
Then they took the kid this year who's apparently dominating, who had the knee injury.
What's his name?
That the Niners were linked to for a minute. But yeah, of course he's working out well for them.
I mean, so I don't know. It's just this difference in philosophy.
I know.
Is what this is. And for the life of me, I cannot understand it. On the text line, the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line, the 408 writes, Shanahan undervalues O-line because he can scheme around it and make up for personnel deficiencies. And maybe that is part of it. Maybe Shanahan has such a belief in who he is as a play caller that he would rather have a plus group of skill position players than a plus group of offensive linemen. Then, okay, Kyle, it's on you. It's on you. You better wow us with your play calling and be perfect this year. Because, I mean, honestly, he had a bad year last year. There were a ton of injuries, but from a play calling perspective, how many times last year, Shasky, were you just wowed by a design from Shanahan? I feel like I can count it on one hand.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot.
But in years past, I'm thinking, oh my God, that was just an absolutely incredible design by Shanahan. He made it look like a run. It turns out to be a pass. He got the linebackers running to the left. He's throwing it to the right. Wide open Kittle for a walk-in touchdown. It happened so much more in past years. So, okay, if that's true, what the 408. If what the 408 wrote is true, then all right, Kyle, you better be great this year. Otherwise, I don't know how you're going to make up for the deficiencies of the offensive line.
Well, and I think one of the areas where they've really, really, really struggled in the last year, red zone. And I think it's a direct correlation to the offensive line. I really do. They haven't been able to run the ball on early downs in the red zone. And then their pass blocking on third down situations hasn't been great. So, yeah, there's going to... Asking Shanahan to change, though, I mean, it's like telling a zebra to lose the stripes. He's very stubborn.
He is stubborn.
Who's more stubborn, Steve Kerr or Kyle Shanahan?
Oh, I think it's Kyle Shanahan.
I do, too, by a mile.
The offensive lineman that you're talking about for the Chiefs is Josh Simmons.
Simmons. He tore his ACL early in the year, was going to be a first-round draft pick. Where did they end up getting him?
Last pick of the first round, so still technically first round, but 32 overall.
It's good value.
Yeah, at Ohio State.
And of course, he looks great.
Of course. You would expect nothing less.
I hate the Chiefs so much.
All right, time for a break in just a minute, but first, it is time for the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurt.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Well, stop me if you've heard this before. The 49ers sustained a few bumps and bruises in Saturday's preseason opener. Safety Marquise Siegel had to leave the game in the second quarter with a knee injury and did not return to the game. Meanwhile, linebacker Tatum Bethune suffered an ankle injury in the second quarter but was able to return to the game. None of the injuries the Niners dealt with on Saturday seemed to be that serious, according to Kyle Shanahan. That is the injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. And what's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Yeah, what's coming up?
Here's what's coming up. Risers and fallers. Oh. The guys who balled and the guys who stalled on Saturday. Let's get into the actual game. Let's get into the guys that were making an imprint and the ones that left us with a sour taste in our mouth.
All right, that's what's coming up on the game. Again, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. It's the Morning Roast. Shasky and Grandy with you. More next on 95.7 The Game.
I'm not a GM, even though I'd love to be one.
When you try